Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, Will. You got to give me that leg, Will.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
He did it! He did it! E.J. Manuel did it all the way down the field!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight, Murph is joined by Bills head coach Doug Marrone for the first hour in studio, taking your phone calls, plus player reaction from locker room cleanout day tonight on The John Murphy Show.
By Leotis McKelvin at the 35-yard line. Leotis, my man!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here we go, 2 hours, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on a Monday night from One Bills Drive. And for the first hour, we have in studio live with us the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. You belong in here every Monday night, by the way. Come on. Let's make a commitment. We're going to have fun tonight. And I tell you what, I think it's great that fans are going to have a chance tonight to call up and talk to you directly without any filters at all.
Well, I think I always appreciate having the opportunity to talk to the fans, so this way they can, you know, call in. And, you know, as a head coach, you don't really get a lot of that, you know, that type of opportunity. And, you know, I love our fans, and they've been big for us. And I think they're, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at it, you know, statistically, and you see, you know, the difference between how well we play at home and how well we play on the road, you know, you try to figure out why, you know, the fans are a big part of that.
Head coach Doug Marrone in studio with us. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The coach is here until 8 o'clock tonight. I tell people, I think I told you off mic a moment ago, locker cleanout day is my least favorite day of the NFL year. It's just, it's sad. It's, you know, the season, unless you won the Super Bowl, the season ends not the way you wanted it to. And in many respects, you're probably the last day you'll spend with some of the people in that locker room. You must feel that on an annual basis, I would think.
I do, Murph, and I think you're correct. I mean, if locker room cleanouts after you win a Super Bowl, it's a great day.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything other than that, again, it's a disappointment.
I spent a lot of time, you know, this morning in that locker room talking to players, and of course the press conference today. And the overriding, I guess, emotion I get, coach, is that your players are disappointed but not discouraged. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, we talked to the players today, and you know, had a good conversation with them, and you know what we have to do. You know, the 2014 season obviously started today, even though we're putting to bed the 2013 season. You know, we're going through a lot of evaluations and a lot of process, but you know, I told the players it's extremely important from what you do now until you report in April that we all have to be working towards winning, because we do have a lot of work ahead of us.
The coach is with us live in studio until 8 tonight. Your phone calls are welcome. 803-0550, the number to call. We ask you to kind of keep them short and to the point. And we'll start with Mark in Jersey City. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I just wanted to thank Coach Marrone for the job he did this season. A lot of fans, I mean, maybe have negatives, but I really appreciate the effort and time he's put in, because it, I think down in, down out has showed. Also wanted to ask, he coached Jari Evans and Brandon Moore. He was real instrumental in developing them, undrafted, fourth-round pick. Does he see anybody currently on the Bills roster that he could do a similar job with?
I do. I think that, you know, that's one of the things, and I think it's one of the keys. I was asked that question today in the press conference. You know, we got three young players, you know, in the offensive line that we've acquired during the year, and we traded in and traded out a lot of players during the year to try to, you know, make sure that we were going to have the right ones at the end to work with. And, you know, we have Mark Asper, Anton McClain, and J.J. Unger. And I think that, you know, all three of those players, you know, fit a profile, you know, and J.J. Unger really reminds me a lot of, for, at least from a body standpoint, of, you know, Jari Evans and Brandon Moore. So, you know, I think it's one of the keys. I think that, you know, obviously we're in a league that's based on a salary cap, and I think there are certain positions that you need to develop and spend your money in other areas. And, you know, one of them is you're not going to be able to, you know, with my background as an offensive line coach, I realize that you're not going to be able to spend top dollar, you know, for five offensive linemen across the board. You know, obviously you want to, you know, have a left tackle that's elite. And, you know, I was very proud of the way Cordy Glenn played this year. I think he really played well for us and finished strong. Where I thought last year, the first year, you know, struggled a little bit at the end. But, you know, I was proud of him for that. It's one of our, what was one of our goals with him. And then, you know, Eric Wood. I really thought he really improved his game throughout the year to a point where I think, you know, obviously he's a leader on that line for us. He's a captain for our team. I think it's at a point where we can, you know, get him some honors, you know, postseason, especially, you know, and that'll come with us winning. And I think, you know, those younger players, we have to develop one of them for sure. And I think if we can develop one of them into a starter, that would help us tremendously.
Thanks for your call. We'll go to Chance in Middleport. Hello, Chance. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? My question is first of all, good job this year. Big upgrade from last year. And I was wondering, with this being considered a really good draft class for quarterbacks this year, there's so many prospects that have potential. Is there any consideration in maybe picking up like A.J. McCarron or the Georgia guy or even the Clemson kid in the later round?
Well, I think, you know what, Doug Whaley answered that question today, and, you know, it's something that we go through, meaning that, you know, when you get to that pick, you really don't know. It's very unpredictable the way the draft's going to go. And when you get to that pick, obviously there's ratings on the board, and a lot of times you just like to go and take the highest-rated player. I think that, you know, Doug and the scouts, and obviously, you know, I appreciate Doug letting me have input in it, you know, we'll make the best decision for our team. And if it's something or someone at any position, not just a quarterback, that can better our football team, where we feel that, you know, we're going to be better in 2014, I think we'll obviously make that decision.
Tell me, E.J. Manuel, you made it pretty clear today that you go into the offseason with him as number one on your depth chart at quarterback, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one of these things right now where, you know, I said before, you know, there have been moments, you know, during this year where he's performed well. I mean, you know, you take, for example, the first game he's ever started with a limited amount of the offseason. You got to remember, you know, people forget that, you know, the draft picks weren't there for what you get extra as a head coach, the extra time or the extra camp. So they weren't there with that. And then, you know, they're coming off a really difficult routine of preparing for the combine and not knowing where they're going. And then, you know, obviously the injuries. And it wasn't something that, you know, we planned on. You know, we had the injuries with Kevin Cobb, you know, obviously in camp. I think that hurt us quite a bit. Then, obviously, EJ gets hurt. And really, you know, I said this in a production meeting, you know, that I had the day before the game, and this is not making excuses, but, you know, really he's played, you know, 10 games and has the least amount of preparation. But in those games, I admire the way he came after New England, right, in opening day and his demeanor. And we had an opportunity to win that game. Wins the game for us, you know, when we play Baltimore. Atlanta, for example, really put us in a position to win the game. And really played well in his last game in Jacksonville. He got off to a tough start and wound up throwing for two touchdowns and running for one. And the games that he struggled in were the games where he really came back off of injury and his first road game in New York. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to happen as far as the process of him developing into a quarterback. And the biggest leap is from the first year to the second.
We're live with the head coach of the Bills, Doug Marrone. He is in studio with us. The phone line's 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Luke from Grand Island, you're on the air. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I hope you guys are doing good tonight. Two things real quick. First off, I wanted to say that the difference between this year and the last few years in terms of hope for the future, absolutely huge. I think that we're building something here, and I think that next year we can get and make that leap and get into the playoffs. Another thing I wanted to say was on the play selection, Coach Marrone, I feel like sometimes at the start of drives and on first downs, we tend to run the ball a little bit too much. I was wondering if in the future you could start to open it up maybe and start throwing at the start of drives and on first downs. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Sure. And that's a good question, Luke. And strategically, you know, obviously there's a lot of things in your arsenal to go. And for us, when we looked at the season, where we've been the most productive in the abilities to convert third downs at a high level was to, you know, keep the chains, you know, keep everything manageable. And we were a little bit concerned during the year of, you know, hey, first and 10, if we went ahead and throw it, and we were watching it quite a bit, you know, to make sure it wasn't too overboard. But we were trying to get a chance to run the football, you know, maybe take a shot on second down and keep third down manageable for us, especially in the beginning. I think that, you know, the running game at times when we have been able to do that and get, you know, 4 yards on that first down run, we've been very productive and won football games. You know, when we've gotten negative either from a you know, penalties during a series or, you know, not being able to get half the distance on second and 10, that's where we got into trouble. I think as we move forward, and our passing game is not where we want it to be. Make no mistake about that. But I think as we get going, you know, we continue with the running game, but build our passing game with the play action, you know, you may see us, and that's one of our goals. We would like to be able to take more shots, throw it more on first down, and become more productive from a standpoint of scoring.
You probably have not done an exhaustive review of this past season, but as you look back, how did you do in terms of dictating tempo and playing at an up-tempo style?
Well, I think, at home, I thought we did some good things. I think on the road, you know, we obviously have to do better. You know, tempo is a funny thing. We're going to look at it. There were times where we've been in rhythm. And even though you see the struggles that we've had and you know, but then you see like a 90-something yard drive. You know, we've had a couple of long drives during this year, more than you would think for a team that finished 29th in passing. And I think that's the thing that you become frustrated with. And, you know, we all do. Players do too, is that, you know, we show the ability to do it against good defenses. We played some top defenses during the year, and we've shown the ability to move the ball. And then all of a sudden you stop, and you can't get into that rhythm again. And that's the thing that we're going to take a good look at, you know, from a standpoint of evaluating of what we need to do tempo-wise. You know, slow it down, speed it up. We want the different ways to do it to keep the defense off balance.
Head coach of the Bills, Doug Marone, in studio with us. Let's go to Damon in Ohio. Damon, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Coach?
Good, Damon.
I just wanted to ask, what do you think? I don't think it's a focus thing, but what do you think is the main issue of, you know, why we don't close out games when we should? And I was looking at the records, and just to say that, you know, we had, I mean, four games where easily we should have won. But so what do you think we could do better in the off season to prepare ourselves for close games?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't think it's a standpoint of conditioning, you know, and I think that's the first thing you look at. I think that, you know, our weight coaches and the players have done a good job with conditioning. I think it's, you know, and I hate to say this, but, you know, what we have to realize is that, you know, during the course of a game, no matter, you know, how it's going, I think we've shown some resiliency to come back in games, to keep fighting and play. And obviously, I think, you know, I'm proud of that. I think the fans and everyone's proud of that. But the one point is sometimes during a game of how you handle success, meaning that, you know, here you go, everything's going well, you know, closing those games out and be able to push yourself and finish people off, you know, is you're exactly right. It's something that we have to build. It's part of a culture. It's part of a mindset, you know, and these are the things that we truly have to work on in this off season, because when we get a chance to close out a game, and I think, you know, when we played New York here, we played, you know, Miami here, we were able to do that. But I think that we have to do a better job of that, especially when we have the lead.
The fact is most NFL games are close games, and that's really the difference, isn't it, between, you know, the good teams and the also-rans.
They are close, and I think, you know, the one thing, and I know, you know, you don't like talking about New England, you know, when we're on a show, a Buffalo Bills show, but, you know, the one thing that you notice about them is, you know, they're one of the leading teams in the NFL in scoring in the fourth quarter. And that was one of the things that we brought up to our players as a point of emphasis of that, you know, we have to continue to play until the officials are in the locker room. You know, and what happened the other day is, you know, they score 18 points in the fourth quarter, and they outscore us by 8 points. And that's one of the things of, you know, making sure that you can play, you know, a full 60 minutes and continue to score and make those adjustments as the game goes along.
We're in the studio with the head coach of the Bills, Doug Marrone, and your comments and questions are welcome. 803-0550, the number to call, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Jeff in Jacksonville. Hello, Jeff. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Coach, and Murph. I hope everything's going well for you today.
Good, Jeff.
Back in January when it was announced that you were hired, Coach Marrone, we were told that we were getting a coach that, you know, believes in analytics, and I was really looking forward to having an avant-garde coach, and everything this season looks like we got just standard NFL coaching. I hope that doesn't sound disrespectful, but that's my biggest disappointment is I thought we were getting, you know, trendsetter, and I didn't see that out of this coaching staff this season.
Well, again, I can appreciate that, and I'm not, you know, and I'm not going to argue because of the results, and you know, but one thing about, you know, analytics, at least for me, when I talk about it, you know, shows us a couple things. It shows us what we're doing and what we need to do a better job of, obviously. It also shows us what are the things we need to concentrate on to beat an opponent. And we use that, and when we don't go out there and execute the plan and hit the numbers that we're talking about, we don't look like we're doing a very good job. And I'm not going to sit here and disagree. But when we do it, you know, there are times where you say, wow, look at these guys. Oh, this is it. This, they're going to turn the corner. This, they're going to turn this or do that. And, you know, I said it today to the team and Jeff, and I know the fans are listening. You know, I stood up in front of this team today and I apologized. And I told them, I said, you know, I know what the expectations were of me, this staff, this team, was to make the playoffs. Myself as the leader of this team, I apologize for not having the ability to take you there. And I mean that from my heart. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't only apologize to the players, but management, Mr. Wilson, you know, and the fan base, the people that the season ticket holders and the region. And we are committed and we know what the challenges are that face us coming up this off season and the challenges for 2014. And I'm just appreciative that I have an opportunity to go out there again and compete for the expectations that we want of this program.
Was there any reaction from the players when you offered that apology today? Not much?
No.
Okay. Let's take actually social media questions coming in from Instagram, Paulie816. How do you adjust offensively now that you've had a year to work with the players? How do you adjust offensively?
Well, I think it's the biggest jump now because, you know, obviously, from a standpoint of EJ, he has been through it once. He has seen a lot of different things for the first time. I don't know if people can understand. You know, in college, you don't see as many different coverages and different pressures, and a lot of things in college because of the hash marks. You know, it's a lot of field pressure. You know, and you get a lot of standard pressures. You really do. In the NFL, from week to week, it changes, you know, and they're playing different coverages behind the different pressures. So, you know, he has seen that. He has a much better understanding of what he needs to prepare for. As far as the rest of the team, we came in this year with three different types of systems. A system on offense that they've never used before, obviously defensively and obviously special teams. In the beginning, you're just trying to get that foundation and that base, and to get to the next level takes time and experience. So for us, when the players report back, and we do have a large majority of the players coming back, they should have a much, much better foundation of, you know, what we have the ability to do. And what that gives you is you have the ability to use the tools within the scheme to help you.
Here's a call from Mark in Manchester. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Murph?
Good.
How you doing, Coach Marone?
I'm doing well, Mark.
Just want to say I appreciate and I'm full support of what you're going to do for what you did for this season, and looking forward to see what changes you do for next season. But my question is, I hear a lot about evaluation, so I was just curious and wondering the processing you use to evaluate the team on the offensive side, defensive side of the ball, head coaches. What do you, you know, how do you determine what your weakness and needs are for each position on the team, and how you can improve and upgrade that, those positions, and finding the strengths
sure.
to grow on and the weaknesses to upgrade upon.
Sure. You know, first of all, we do a lot in what most corporations do as far as, you know, from a management standpoint. We'll use a 360, which is basically, for the listeners, is, you know, a lot of questions. It's a lot of self-assessment, a lot of peer assessment, supervisor assessment, you know, and talk about the different areas of the programs of practicing, training room, our nutrition, weight room, the assistant coaches, me as the head coach, the coordinators. So, you know, the players have filled all those things out, and, you know, we'll take a look at that. And that will give us a feel for what the opinion is of the team, which does create quite a bit of change. I think when you – so you would go through that evaluation first. The next part of the evaluation is obviously on the scheme, and we'll look at that and see. And right now, I mean, we track during the year about 250 categories, you know, of offense, defense, and that's not even including how many different categories of special teams of what we're doing. We'll look at that and we'll say, okay, what are the areas that we need to address right away? And those are the areas that we'll hit first. Those are urgency areas, whether it be passing, third down on offense, sacks per play. All the things that we're not doing well are the first things that we'll go for. Defensively, we'll look at, you know, points per game. We'll look at, you know, the rushing yards that we've given up. So, you know, and stopping the run. So those are the things. Special teams, okay? You know, we'll look and evaluate, you know, our net punt. You know, things like that that we're not happy with. We'll look at the next phase of things of saying, okay, these are things that we've got to continue to develop, okay? So how do we do that? You know, what is the plan for that? How do we implement that in practice? How do we implement that with the players? Then I think the next phase is, okay, hey, these are the things we're doing well. Let's make sure we don't lose sight of this, and how can we build off of those strengths? So it's a pretty intense evaluation of what we have to do. And, you know, the one thing about it in the coaches is you got to come in with thick skin, because, you know, a lot of times you're going to get your feelings hurt. And it really doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is results, and we have to win.
Coach is here until 8 o'clock tonight. We're here until 9 with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We'll take a break and come back with more. Your phone calls are welcome for head coach Doug Marone, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And in studio with us live, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marone. Taking your phone calls, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us, follow us on Twitter. We're taking some calls via social media as well. Let's take a call here from Paul in Akron, New York. Hello, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Just wanted to say, I'm a longtime Bills fan since Joe Ferguson, since you were on Channel 7 there. But my question, I guess, was about last game. When we kicked it off and Blunt ran it back all the way on us, and the next time we got the ball, we scored, and we kicked it off like again to him. And I guess I just was wondering, where was the mindset that we wouldn't think that we would kick it away from this guy, because he was kind of doing some damage to us, and we kind of like kicked it right again to him. And that's kind of what I was just wondering as a fan. I was thinking in the game, I'm like, why did we kick that to him again? I guess that was my question, to see where the mindset was of why we kicked it to him again.
Sure, Paul. A couple things. You know, one, and people asked obviously today about, you know, our kickoff coverage unit. And, you know, really for the most part, we have done a good job during the year. meaning that, you know, we had the reverse a couple of weeks ago that hit for about 50, you know, and then we had the two plays in this game. But really, the first time we kicked it, what happened was is they started the return one way. We all followed. We had players playing over the top, and we were too fast over the top, and we lost contain. So he wound up breaking it out the back door on us, all right, for the big gain. So we said, okay, let's make sure we stay in our lanes and let's go down the field. The next time we kicked it off, we missed three tackles and we missed one at the 20-something, you know, the 22-yard line or the 18-yard line. Then we missed one, you know, about 4 or 5 yards down the field and then another 4 or 5 yards down the field where he went. So in our mind, you know, we thought the first one schematically our players were too fast and going, he wound up bouncing it. But we felt that we had players in position to go ahead and tackle him. He was not, before this game, an elite-type kick returner. He was actually their backup. So we felt going into the game, we were concerned a little bit about Vereen back there, who's had some really good returns. But the first one we thought was on us because we just were too fast. And then the second one, we kicked it off and we missed tackles. We weren't expecting that. We were expecting to pin him back there.
Hey, Coach, a question came up this morning on the radio show about the onside kick with 3:20-something left to play. I assume if you had had some timeouts, you probably would not onside in that situation?
Well, we got sacked and we were going to kick the field goal. So my thought process was we got sacked, time on the clock. Let me spend the time I wanted to at that point. Save as much time as possible. I didn't want to give them the ball back. I thought we were having problems, which we were, stopping them, yeah. You know, especially in the running game. So I didn't want them to run out the clock. So I wanted to give us as much time as possible an onside kick. And that was my thought process with that last onside kick.
Question via Twitter from Michael Tarnowski. How will you fix the run defense?
Well, we're going to have to take a good look. I mean, you know, Coach Pett and I, and it's been at times, you know, 2 weeks ago, you know, you would think no one was going to be able to run the ball against us. And Miami has two good running backs and a big line, and they had been playing very well, and they had been running the ball well prior to our game. And there have been times during the year where we've come up big, you know, against teams, you know, rushing attacks. You know, we've given up a lot of big plays in the running game. Yesterday was probably, you know, our poorest effort as far as consistently. But the one thing about New England, what people don't realize, and it kind of gets overlooked because, you know, Tom Brady gets a lot of the credit, but they're the sixth best rushing team on first down in the NFL, you know, averaging over 4 yards a carry. And at the end of the day, when they win the rushing battle, there's something like 90-something and, you know, 6 or 7, you know, in their games in the last 11 to 12 years. So, you know, that's something that obviously Coach Pettine, the defensive staff, myself, you know, that we're frustrated with. You know, we have to go and look and see, you know, how can we put our players in the best position so we don't give up those big plays.
The phone lines are open for Coach Marone. If you have comments or questions, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Manny from White Plains, New York. Hello, Manny.
Hey, how you doing, Merv? Doug, I think you did a fantastic job this season with the team. You could feel an extreme amount of difference in just you stepping in and just from week to week, whether it's picking up a new player off the waiver wire or things like that, getting rid of a player, constantly making adjustments, and the team is done great. I think we have enough defense to do some damage, because if you're holding teams to about 20 points, 24 points, whatever, consistently, I think you always got a chance. You got to get the offense in order. And my question was about the offense in terms of how do you feel about the size of the receivers that you have in-house right now, and will you look to increase the size of your receiving core? I know you have talent there. It's just a matter of the size. Do you feel more comfortable with the size of the receiver?
Well, Manny, I think, you know, I think that's a good point, and it's one that has been asked quite a bit today. Obviously, we feel very comfortable where we are from a speed standpoint with our receivers. I think everyone would agree with that. And, you know, we have to do a better job offensively of really getting them the ball vertically. You know, we've seen times this year where we've done a good job of that. And I always think when you throw the ball deep, you know, you could hit the big play, and there's always the pass interference. I think the other thing I look at is you're right. You know, when you look at the elite number one receivers in the league, you know, you're seeing, you know, the big ones. You know, you're seeing guys 6'3 plus, you know, 205, 210 plus, you know, 4'4 type guys that are truly number ones, where guys are just throwing it up and the guys are going and getting it. I think one of the things that we feel is that, you know, we have a player here, you know, Kevin Elliott, that was really having a good camp for us, who's a big wide receiver. At the end of the year, this week, you know, obviously we moved Aaron Williams to, you know, IR, and wound up signing Cordell Roberson to the squad. And I think that was an important key for us. You know, he's another big receiver. So, you know, we feel we have two big targets that can both run that we can implement into our offense. But you're right. I think, you know, Doug Whaley, if there's somebody available that he feels that can better our football team in that regard, you know, and then that's a player that I'm sure that he would look at.
Here's a call from Mike in Lockport. Hello, Mike. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show with Coach Marone.
Hey, Coach. I saw you and Coach Hackett in Syracuse a couple years ago, and you talked about a lot about tendencies and formations. And back to the analytics question, I was wondering, are you the stats guy? Do you have your own Excel sheets? Do you do that yourself, or do you rely on somebody to do that for you? Because you had some thoughtful answers on the morning show about analytics and about the new statistics and websites. Is that something you do on your own, or you rely on somebody?
No, actually, we do that on our own when it comes down to formations and hit charts and plays and what we're running and, you know, efficiency. So, you know, on any team, and I'm not just saying it's us, when you look at it, we'll say, okay, when we're in this formation, you know, what are we running to the tight end side? What are we running to the split end side? You know, what are we doing protection-wise? What are we doing from a route standpoint-wise? And the down and distances that we're using as call. So, you know, we really, every team, and I don't want to say like we're on the cutting edge, we are, you know, we know exactly, we do it ourselves, because you know why? When you're doing that work and you're putting that stuff together, you have a better understanding of it. And that was one of the things. I think you have to be careful with analytics and computer breakdowns. I think you need a balance. You need to watch the film. You need to look at it. You need to chart it. You need to write things down. You need to, and then how I do it is I watch the film. I have an opinion of what I'm seeing. Then I go to the computer reports and I say, okay, am I right in what I'm seeing? Now, if the computer reports say something different, then I have to go back and say, why didn't I view this the right way? Mm-hmm. The same with when we're looking at formations. Okay, you know, what are we doing? You know, it was a poor call by me the other night on fourth down. You know, the couple of fourth down and critical and inches, you know, we've quarterback sneaked and been successful. And I made a poor call, poor judgment by me. You know, we should have gone to another play. And I was wrong on that. And that's one of the things you look back and you kick yourself in the butt. But we use it quite a bit. But we do it ourselves.
Coach, a question from Twitter. Mzoda asks, would you consider adding a quarterback coach to the team so Nathaniel Hackett would not have to do double duty?
Well, I think that those are a lot of things, you know, that we're going to look at. Obviously, Nathaniel and I have conversations, as well as, you know, Mike Pettine and I, and obviously Danny Carson, about, you know, what do we need to do from a standpoint? What do we need? What are we missing? You know, how can we get ourselves better? I appreciate Mr. Wilson and Russ Brandon in our conversation saying, listen, whatever you need, just tell us and we'll get it done. And I think that's the commitment that they have. And we have to look to see how we can use the best resources for us to be able to get more wins.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more phone calls and a few minutes left with the head coach of the Bills, Doug Marone, live in studio with us on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Oh, there you go, Coach. This is the way you used to wrap up your radio show in Syracuse, right, with the Syracuse fight song.
That's correct.
You got a smile on your face for the first time in this hour. That's good. Coach Marone in studio with us for the next couple of minutes, and time for a call or two. Let's go to, where am I going here? Ken in the Bronx. Hello, Ken. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, Coach?
Good,
I'm on right around Lafayette Avenue.
I like it. I like it.
All right. I want to ask you a question about what you think about the officiating. For some reason, it always happens on third down and long that the receiver drops the pass, the defender still hits him. It could be with the helmet or without the helmet, I think, and we still get that penalized for unnecessary roughness. What do you think about that? To me, it drives me nuts.
Well, you know, it's a judgment call, and you know, the one thing that, you know, the officials have come, they've come under scrutiny like coaches now. I mean, you know, they have people up there. Mike Pereira, you know, obviously gets up there and he's commenting on, you know, the calls that should and shouldn't be made. And the one thing that I have to say from my experience, having been to, you know, truly official meetings, you know, where, you know, the officials get together and it's like coaches, you know, they're going to review things and try to get themselves better. I always had a great appreciation for how much when they do make a poor call, you know, how much it hurts them. And they understand, you know, what goes on in the fan base and obviously with an organization. Dean Blandino, who's in charge of the NFL, you know, really does a good job communicating. And I think that I give them credit. You know, they've come out and they said, hey, yeah, you know, we made a mistake. I know that they're not going to go back and do anything, but I think it's a start. I think that, you know, we're always working to get this game better. And as far as with your question with the receivers is that I believe in this league now that they're going to err on the side of player safety. So if they feel that you're going and you're contacting the head area or you're contacting a defensive player, you know, if there's any doubt at all, they're going to err on the side of player safety. So, you know, we try to school our players up on it. We try to tell them how to hit. You know, obviously things are becoming more limited on what you can hit. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things go forward, you know, with a lot of the low tackles this year.
Here's a call from Tim on his cell phone. Tim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. Hey, Coach. Happy New Year to you both.
Thank you.
Happy New Year,
hey,
Tim.
I got I got a question for you, Coach. You think there's any possibility maybe that you might improve by maybe switching some position coaches around maybe or finding somebody that that might have been just recently let go or so? And, Murph, you're the bomb, dude. I'm telling you, I drive truck. I listen to the Dolphins broadcast on satellite, and I listen to the Bills broadcast. It's kind of hard to get excited into a game when you have broadcasters that just aren't excited themselves. You rock, man, and they should be as lucky to have somebody like you. So, I mean, for the Buffalo Bills fans, I mean, count your blessings. You got Murph and the gang on, calling the play-by-play.
Oh, that's awfully nice, Tim.
But yeah, that's all.
Thanks.
That's all I needed to know.
Thanks, Coach. His question about, but you're blown away about that compliment, aren't you?
I just can't believe your brother Tim calls the show.
Position coaches is questionable.
I really mean this. I think we're going to take a long, hard look at everything, you know, and evaluate everything. And if you know, we will do whatever it takes for us to get better. You know, if we have to move some people around, whatever it may be, you know, we're going to have those discussions. I think right now, from a standpoint of, I know how I feel, and I believe I know how the coaches feel. You know, obviously there's a large sense of disappointment, you know, of sitting here. I think that, you know, we just got to, you know, we'll continue to work on how we're going to get better in 2014, but we need to take, you know, just step back a little bit, you know, and just kind of, you know, regain our thoughts and then go back into it and not make any rash decisions. And that's why I think we have to take a good, long, hard look, and we have a process that we've started today.
What's the next couple of weeks look like for you and the coaching staff?
Well, you know, obviously today was the exit interviews and questionnaires and filling it out. Tomorrow, you know, and then obviously tonight we've done a lot of, you know, the self assessments and things like that from an evaluation standpoint. Tomorrow we'll do readings, which are basically, you know, we'll be in there with Doug Whaley, Jim Monos, and Russ Brandon, and we'll talk as a staff, and we'll go through each of the players and evaluate their season, you know, and just a quick picture of how we think they're playing. After that, we'll take a step back. On Monday, we'll come in. We'll start getting all the statistics together and the self-scout, you know, of what we've done. You know, we're gonna look internally first before we look out. We'll have a list of, you know, each coach will have anywhere between 10 to 20 projects, you know, to study. We'll start on, which means, you know, hey, the top five teams in the red zone scoring, the top five teams, you know, defensively against the run. You know, what are they doing? Why are they successful? Is it personnel? Is it scheme? You know, how do we feel it can help us? After that, we have unrestricted free agents, restricted free agents. I mean, it you know, that's what someone said today about the offseason. I'm like, offseason? You know, there is none. But we want to get back into it. You know, it hurts right now the way we finished. So for us as coaches, we want to jump back into this thing and start working and feel like we're getting this team better today.
Coach, thanks for this. The last hour, I know the fans enjoyed talking to you. We're here every Monday night. You're always welcome to come down, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it, Murph.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.